If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 34. And if you're able, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read this verse this morning. And today I'm preaching on unconditional forgiveness. Unconditional forgiveness. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. God, your word is powerful. And Father, we are seeing such a display of love and forgiveness in this passage. God, I pray today that you will speak to our hearts through this message. Let us receive from your word. And I pray, Father, that as I preach this message, everything will be spoken from your Holy Spirit. Nothing from my flesh or my thoughts or my own ideas or perceptions. But God, let your word go forth in might and boldness and power. We thank you and praise you and love you. It's in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen. You may be seated. I had to go back to being on my phone. My printer's still not working, so we're just going to do this again this way. One of the highest forms of love is forgiving someone who has hurt you, especially when they've done it intentionally. To tell one who hurt you that you forgive them may shock them into apologizing to you for their misdeeds. Unconditional forgiveness is one of the highest characteristics of true Christianity, which can be manifested by a believer. It is with this trait that you may win many to Christ Jesus. So we must learn how to deal with unforgiveness. Now, in the passage that I read this morning, Jesus is hanging on a cross. And Jesus had been beaten. He had been accused of a lot of things. People had turned their backs on him. They spat on him. They cursed him. They mocked him. They made fun of him. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. He had to carry his own cross. And there were even some who had turned their backs on Jesus. The disciples who had walked with him had fled and had locked themselves in an upper room because they were afraid that the same punishment was going to come upon them. So here Jesus is all by himself, hanging on a cross, and even for a moment there, God the Father, you recall, when everything got really dark and before Jesus died, God himself had turned his face away from his only begotten Son because he had taken the sin of the entire world upon himself. A man who was immortal became mortal for you and I, and he died on the cross and gave his life. And he did it all on his own. He didn't call the angels to come. But what I love about the scripture, after all that had happened, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Or they don't know what they do, according to the New King James Version. And when I think about that, I think of my own life. You know, how many times has somebody hurt me or done wrong to me? And did I hold a grudge or did I choose to forgive them? Well, sad to say, in a lot of situations, as a pastor for all the years that I pastored, there were many a times that I felt like I was alone. There were many times as I felt like I didn't have the backing of some of the church people. I felt like sometimes people were against me because I would be doing so much, but you know, getting ridiculed at times, not all the time, but it happens in human life. It even happens to folks that are not pastors, people who serve in other areas of Christianity. But you know, it's during times, I'm ashamed to say, that I myself had gotten upset with people and I had decided that I would not forgive them, that I would hold a grudge, and I thought that I was doing them, I thought I would make them feel bad. Well, you know, time went by that I held on to unforgiveness, and I realized that when I would step into church and see that person, you know what I would do? I would do everything in my power to go another way, because I was afraid of confronting them. I didn't want to talk to them. But I thought, if I hold this unforgiveness, they're eventually going to feel bad, and they're going to come to me and they're going to apologize. Well, you know what happened? I held this unforgiveness for quite a few weeks. And I went to church one day and I saw this person, and they were laughing. They were happy. And they were enjoying themselves. And I thought, I went home that day and I was sitting in the parsonage going, I wonder what happened. You know, the plan's not going like I thought it would. They're supposed to be miserable because I'm mad at them. But they're enjoying life. What? And then I found out the only person I was hurting was myself. You see, one thing that Satan wants to do in the church, Satan wants to divide the church. Do you know why we have a First Baptist Church or a Second Baptist Church, or we have so many churches in a community? I always wondered this as a child. Why are there so many churches in our towns? And it was later that I found out that Satan had gotten into a body of believers and he started sowing seeds of discord and mistrust and then hate. And then there was no fellowship. And this group of people was mad at this group of people. And sometimes it started just with two folks and then spread. And then this group of people got mad and said, well, we're not going to stay here in fellowship. We're going to go over here and start our own church. Mm-hmm. But you know what happens? When you drag that kind of old baggage with you, you can start a brand new church, or you could go attend a new place, whatever the situation may be. But guess what's going to happen? That old baggage is going to go with you. You're going to drag that chain. I call it an old ball and chain you drag. And I'm not talking about ladies, because you know I've heard some men say, well, I'm old ball and chain. But that's not what I'm talking about when I say ball and chain. So. But anyway, people drag that ball and chain through life, and they drag it wherever they go. And they live in constant heaviness and sorrow. And then when they get into this new church, you know what happens, Sister Effie? It all starts again. The devil gets his hand in the midst of God's family, and he starts to sow the seeds of discord and hate all over again. There has not been fellowship in a lot of our churches for so many years. You know, when we get up of a morning, even on Sunday or Wednesday night, and when we head to church, you know what our hearts ought to be filled with? Our hearts ought to be filled with love and expectation. I look forward to wherever I go preach. I look forward to seeing the people's faces, shaking their hands, or fist bumping, whatever we have to do, or a hug, or just a hello. It doesn't matter what it is. I look forward to that fellowship. I look forward to the smiles. I look forward to the love that is being spread in God's house. Well, let me back up a little bit now. I need to say this. Finally, I got to a point where I was so miserable with my own self. I couldn't hardly get in the pulpit and preach. I would seriously have a sermon ready, and I would look at that outline, and I was so filled with so much heaviness. I was having stomach issues. I was having headaches. My neck and shoulders were tight from all the tension. And Satan was warring against me, and I could not even preach God's word. I would go to church not even expecting to receive a blessing from God. And finally, I had to get down to the point where I went up to this one person and I said, look, I know that this situation happened and I am at fault. And I want you to know that I'm very sorry. And I ask that you would please forgive me. And I want to restore relationship and fellowship with you. Now, a lot of times, people will come right out and say, yeah, hey, I forgive you. And then some people go, I don't know. You know, you kind of treated me bad. I don't know if I wanted to go there just yet. That's a wrong thing to do. There's a lot of people in our life that's going to hurt us. But, you know, we can't wear our feelings out on our sleeve. We can't wear our feelings just because somebody says something that we get our feelings hurt and we start to hold a grudge. Now, back to what I was saying. When we come to church, we ought to expect God's blessings. We ought to expect to receive joy. We ought to expect fellowship with one another. As I said last Sunday, you know, God gives us His love, His unconditional love, and that love ought to be radiating through us. You know, we don't know the situations that people go through in their life. Somebody may be going through something really tragic that's weighing them down, and it would cause them to respond to us in a way that we weren't expecting. And you know, when somebody comes at us, if they're mad, if they're angry, I wonder if we've ever taken just the time to say, could I pray for you? Amen. Do you need somebody to talk to you? Or maybe just go up to them and say, I want you to know I love you, and whatever you're going through, I'm praying for you. And I'm here for you. Those things right there can really make an impact on somebody's life. And Jesus is being our example here. Hanging on a cross with nails driven through His hands and His feet, He has been vacated. He has been left all alone. And yet He looks at the people, and the Bible says they divided His garments and cast lots. I mean, there He is hanging on a cross, and they're not even paying attention to Him. They're having a grand old time. And Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now here a couple weeks ago, somebody done something to my wife, and it hurt her. And you know what? I felt a little bit of tension over that. And I thought, how could this person do that to my wife? Because that person is a pastor's wife. What is wrong with her? And boy, I got a little aggravated. And this kind of drug out. And you know what the devil started doing? The devil started saying, can you believe what she done to your wife? Can you believe that she made your wife feel this way? What are you going to do about it? And I thought, you know what? I'm going to say some awful things. And I did. I told my wife, I said, that woman shouldn't be a pastor's wife. And then after a few days, I'm going, what in the world is coming out of my mouth? So Tuesday morning, I got up, and Janine and I did our Bible reading and prayer time. And as I was sitting there, we were praying, I started to weep. And I started to confess before the Lord all these things that were welling up in my spirit. See, just because I'm a preacher doesn't mean I'm perfect. Just because I'm a preacher doesn't mean I'm going to fail and fall. Just because I'm a preacher doesn't mean I'm not going to get my feelings ruffled and maybe say some things. I've been in groups of preachers before and heard things being said that, wow, I couldn't believe. And I had to remove myself from the situation. But I quickly, Tuesday morning, gave to the Lord. And I said, God, I can't do this. And I was crying. It would hurt my heart. And I said, God, I forgive this person for what they've done to my wife. And I ask you, Lord, to take control of the situation and you deal with her. Oh, excuse me. I said, you deal with her, Lord. You deal with her. You know what happened? This lady contacted my wife during the week, this past week, and she said, I want you to know I'm going to come by Friday and make things right. See, when we decide to give things up and let God have control, everything works out all right. Mm-hmm. The consequences of an unforgiving spirit are emotional problems, a gradual increase in bitterness, physical ailments, a withdrawal from spiritual things, and Satan will build a stronghold of hatred into your life, keeping you from the fellowship of others. Now, the emotional problems, that's true. The more that you hold on to hatefulness and unforgiveness, it's going to take a root. When you plant a seed in the ground and that seed gets watered and receives sun, what's going to happen? That seed's going to break apart and roots are going to form in the ground and something's going to grow, isn't it? Well, you can see it out here in our fields right now. The crop's coming up. It started as a seed and it's grown into something big. And if we let unforgiveness take a root in our life, if we let anger and resentment become a part of our character, it's going to cause some emotional problems. It's going to have roots, and it's going to grow in your life, and it's going to cause physical ailments. I've talked to some doctors before who said, I've never seen more people who come into my office or go to the emergency room because they're depressed, and they say that they don't want to live anymore. And some doctors have gotten to talk to people, and they said that it started out just some little minor thing in life, and now it's grown into this, I just call it a big garbage pile, what it's grown into. You know, when I was a child, my grandfather died. I was in the fourth grade. And I remember this clear as day. We went to my aunt's house to stay with them overnight. My dad was kind of he wore his feelings on his sleeve, I'll just say that. And so did my aunt. And those two, brother and sister, were peas in a pod. And she said something to us kids because she was kind of being dramatic. And then my dad got mad. And my dad packed us up and got all of our suitcases packed together, threw us back in the car late at night, and we went across town to my Uncle John's hotel over in West Memphis. And we got out and we stayed there. And my dad would not speak to his sister after that. And this lasted for 17 years between them. 17 years. They wouldn't speak to one another. They hated each other. And I didn't understand that because inside of me, I had this love as a child. That's all I understood was love because of what my grandfather preached a lot. And I loved my Aunt Mary, and I loved my Uncle Jerry, and I used to think, why can't we go see them? I want to spend time with them while I have them on this earth. Why? And when we would get around them, they would go away from us. And my dad and my mom would go away, and they would tell us kids, now don't you dare talk to them. I thought, why? What do we do? What? And for 17 years this happened. In 1994, my grandma came down sick, and she was in a hospital with staph infection all around the heart. And this is the honest truth. My grandmother had been unresponsive for quite a few weeks, not able to know what was really going on, but I know God intervened in this situation. My dad and his sister, after 17 years, and then this was 1994, my dad walked into the waiting room, walked up to his sister, and I was very proud of my dad. He said, Mary, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I've let 17 years go by of holding this grudge against you. But he said, I'm sorry and I love you. Will you please forgive me? And my Aunt Mary turned right around, looked at my dad, and said, I'm sorry too. She said something so silly. See, it just, all it needed was talking, and bringing it to the Lord. And forgiveness right at the moment would have saved 17 years. And do you know, during that 17 years, my dad suffered with so many physical ailments? He did. He suffered emotionally. He would not speak to his own family. He held this grudge. Now, could you imagine what it would be like if Jesus held a grudge against us for when we did wrong, but He doesn't. See, God commands us as Christian people that if we don't forgive those who do wrong to us, then He won't forgive us of our sins. If we hold unforgiveness against even one person, when we go to God and ask Him to forgive us, He won't forgive us until we give up what we're holding on to. See, what we hold on to, it holds us back from receiving God's blessings. And that's why I wonder if so many of our little church houses are closed up today. I thank God that this church house is still open and going. Amen. I'm thankful that this church house has fellowship in there, in here. But it breaks my heart to drive by churches and see doors closed because people failed to do God's will. And maybe I often wonder, was it because of unforgiveness? You know, I can't tell you how many times even married couples go through it, families go through it, that something happens. And you know, when I've done something wrong, I always go to my wife and I tell her, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You know what my wife says every time? She says so gently, I forgive you. And we hug and we pray together because you know what? I don't want anything to come between my wife and I because I love her so much. And I live with her. Of course, I don't want her to kill me either. So I have to ask her for forgiveness. See, she's the boss. Ain't that right, Milton?
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm in church.
Oh, I told her the other day, she was saying something. I said, yes, boss. And she's like, I'm not your boss. But see, I want fellowship between my wife and I. And you know, I pastored a church, Janine and I were at, we pastored a church, and they hurt us royally, and we ended up leaving because it was a bad situation. And I walked away from that, and I held some grudges for quite a while because I was deeply hurt. And you notice, I wasn't very happy at home. I didn't have no fellowship with the Lord. And finally, I started running into some of these people from this church. And they come up to me, and they greeted me and said, hi, how are you doing? And I thought, you know what, here's my opportunity. And I said, I'm doing great. And I just finally decided to say, you know what, I don't care what happened. I forgive you, and I love you. And you know what, I keep seeing, and one of these deacons, I keep seeing him and his wife a lot. And he'll come up to me, and he'll smile and just, Jim, how are you doing? I said, Pete, I'm doing good, buddy. It's so good to see you. I don't forget. I mean, sometimes I don't forget what happened, but I choose not to hold on to it. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What Jesus is saying, and in our ignorance, in the sin ignorance, we don't know what we're doing. When we get away from God's Word and God's commandments, we have no idea what we're heading ourselves into. That's what it means by it. We don't know what we're doing. But this one thing that we need to keep in mind, that we need to always be thinking, that God has forgiven me. And when I sin, God still loves me and God still unconditionally forgives me for everything I've ever said, done, or thought. Now, there's one unforgivable sin. And the Bible said that's blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. That's the only unpardonable sin. And I preached to you, I think about a month or so back, on forgiveness. It was a different sermon. But you know what? There's people who are going to hurt me. Like yesterday I went to work, we had a visitation, and there's somebody that was in a bad mood. Well, that's fine. I can't stand there and say, well, that has to be against me. I can't take these feelings up on myself. But I just chose to pray for the person. And a little bit later in the day, they was in a much better mood. And I just said, thank you, Lord. And I didn't let that person's bad mood wreck my day. So when we come to church, we ought to come expecting fellowship. We ought to love those around us. And when somebody is hurting, we need to pray for them. If they don't want to be prayed for right then and there, that's fine. But we can leave with an attitude of gratitude and say, Father, I lift up my brother or my sister to you. And I don't know what they're going through or what they're feeling, but I pray, Lord, today that you touch them and deliver them from the heaviness that they're under. You know, when I witnessed to my mother-in-law some years ago, she would talk to me for quite a while, and it hurt, but I still forgave her. My dad did a lot of things to me as a result of his raising. And before my father passed away, my dad sat in a chair and he cried. And he said, Son, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Now some of these memories, boys, just start flooding. Well, these are things you said one time. This is what you've done to me. This is what you thought of me. This is how you were. I thought, boy, I'll just give it to him. That's what the devil said. Just give it to him. Let him have it. And I chose to wrap my arms around him. And I cried with my dad. And I said, Dad, I love you and I forgive you. And you know what? That last couple of months that I had with my dad were probably the best 2 months of my life with him ever. Now, my dad was a good man. There's a lot of good days with my dad. I choose to look at those. The bad days, boy, those are some days I wish I would have loved you more. Those are some days I wish I would have said better or felt better. But you know what? It's a learning ground that from that situation that I know the next time somebody hurts me, I'm just going to say, regardless of what you said or did, I want you to know I love you and I forgive you. See, when we choose to forgive people, we're going to be able to live in freedom. We're going to be able to go to church and celebrate and worship. Just like the lady that I held a grudge against. Man, she'd come to church laughing and having a good time. And here I was, rotten and awful and feeling bad. And I couldn't understand it. It's because she chose not to go there, not to be in that area that I was at. Once you have forgiven a person, you determine at that moment that you will not raise the issue with the person that hurt you. See, when God forgives us, He forgives us and casts our sins as far as the east is to the west and remembers them no more. Now our human brain Satan will bring it back, but you got to quickly knock it down. And you have got to tell yourself, as Christ forgave me, so I will forgive that person. Ask God for immediate strength to squelch the desire for revenge. Oh, sometimes, boy, we want to get revenge. We hear about a court case or we hear about something that happened, and man, we start saying, boy, they ought to take that person and do the same thing to them. Is that the love of Christ? No, it's not. I was reading a thing on Facebook this morning that somebody posted, said some teenagers beat an elderly person to death. And one person says this and one person says that. And I'm sitting there kind of thinking, yeah, you know what? That sounds about right. They ought to bring back corporal punishment. And then I thought, ooh, don't go there. You know what's going to change people? Showing the love of the Lord. If they would allow our prison systems and our schools to bring the Bible back and to start teaching the Word of the Lord, it's going to do a lot more good than anything else. These people who, whatever happened, I don't really know the whole story, but whatever these teenagers done, I pray that they get saved. And it didn't directly affect me, but I choose to forgive them for what they did. And I will pray for them, because that's what God has commanded. Keep in mind those that you have hurt in the past and how they have forgiven you. So see, if we choose to love and forgive, then we're going to have a good life. We're going to have more blessings. But when we choose not to forgive, God's going to withhold the blessings in our life. And there's going to be some unhappy days ahead. It's not worth the sickness and the pain. It's not worth severing a relationship. I have somebody right now that will not speak to me at all. And I don't know why. I don't know what I've done. But you know what? I still say hi to that person. I still talk to that person. And even though they choose not to give me the time of day, I know and I have a hope and a belief that one day that's going to be turned around. So unforgiveness cannot reside within us as God's people. But we have to choose to forgive. Unconditional forgiveness. Doesn't matter the situation. We need to tell that person, I love you and forgive you. Now think about this. Jesus told Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. What did Peter say? No, Lord, I wouldn't do that. And before the rooster crowed, Peter denied him three times. And that third time, I'll bet Jesus locked eyes with Peter. But Jesus, when he locked eyes with Peter, there was no hate in Jesus. There was no unforgiveness. When he locked eyes on him, I bet you that Peter could see Jesus saying to his heart, I love you. I knew this was going to happen, but I still love you. And that caused Peter to weep bitterly and to flee. When Judas betrayed Jesus, Jesus forgave Judas. When he died on the cross and took your sin and my sin, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And those words ring true today. Do you know that Jesus loves the drug dealer, the prostitute, the drunk, the abuser, the murderer? Do you know that Jesus loves them just the same that he loves his own children? Do you know he loves them that much? And you know what Jesus wants for them? He wants them to turn their lives and hearts over to him. And that's what we got to do. We got to pray for these people. We got to reach out to them. I wonder how many of us today have been holding on to unforgiveness. Something somebody did. Even if they're dead and gone, you know what one thing you can do? Get on your knees and pray and say, Lord, I forgive them. And please forgive me, Father. You will experience the greatest peace in your life when you choose to forgive others that have hurt you. Now, you know what? Sometimes I'm going to preach messages at places, and it's probably going to step on people's toes. And you know what? Maybe God meant it to happen. God needs to get our attention sometimes. And we may get our feelings ruffled and hurt over certain things that are preached that are truth. But we have to look at those things and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What do I need to change, Lord, about myself? Because when we start doing that and we start making things right in our life and being right with the Lord, we're going to have a much brighter fellowship. Our churches need to start coming together. Our churches don't need to be separating and starting new fellowships all over the place because people are mad at one another. But we need to come together in fellowship. And we need to start doing what God's called us to do. You know, when I was a child, I want to say this last one thing. When I was a child and I saw these adults acting the way they were, in my mind, I was thinking, I thought adults were supposed to get along. I only thought children were supposed to act like this. And then when I got older, I found Jim Cooper acting more like a child as an adult. And then my understanding really came to a realization. I got to walk in fellowship with the Lord. And I've got to walk in love and in truth. I got to live by this word. Because that's the only way I want it. Because when I die, I want to stand before the Lord and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Amen.
What about you? And I want you to know, I preached this message in love today. I didn't preach this message trying to condemn anybody or anything like that. I never would do that. But if there's something in your heart you need to forgive somebody, if it's somebody here, I pray that you go up to them and get it right this morning and let it go. Because when you let things go, you watch God start working in your life.